Now is the time, episode 44. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Friends, welcome to another episode of Now is the Time, and today we are talking about procrastination. If you're like me, you hear that word and immediately there are a few tasks that just pop into your head, that those tasks that have been lurking around and in the shadows of your life, and you know you need to get them done, but you just can't get the motivation or find the time to get around to get them done. Well, we're going to be talking about why we procrastinate and what we can do about it as well. So I think you'll enjoy the content and the interview, because this is an interview with my friend Lauren Penelis from lifeofthesteward.com. And so stick around for that. We'll get that started in just a minute or two here. But before I get on with the interview, I want to mention just a couple of things. First is, if you missed the video that I put out earlier this week called Ukraine, A Year of Turmoil, I want to encourage you to watch that video. 2014 has been a very historic year for Ukraine, and just in every way. This, in the 23 years of Ukraine's existence since the fall of the Soviet Union, this is the most significant year. And it started with revolution, and now it's ending with war and division. And really, a lot of Ukrainians are discouraged and depressed. But I think that the video is something that I did last week in Maidan Square, right in central Ukraine, where the whole revolution started. Take a look at it. I think it'll give you a good perspective of how Ukrainians are feeling right now, but also what God is doing. And we also want to invite you to partner with us and help us as we work here in Ukraine to build the kingdom, not a political kingdom, but the kingdom of God. Because really, after all, that's what Ukraine needs. And so there's two ways that you can help us with that. One, of course, is to pray and to join us in prayer on a regular basis for Ukraine. The best way to do that is to go to succofamily.org/pray. And there you can sign up to get our blog post and other emails that I send out only to those that are on the list. Succofamily.org pray. And then, of course, the other way that you can partner with us is financially. And as we come to the end of 2014, that is also a really vital part of the year-end gifts that really help us to be able to fund some of the ministries that we do here in Ukraine, whether it is helping to train ministry leaders or giving churches necessary materials and tools that they need to do evangelism and discipleship. These are all vital ministry projects, and the year-end giving, those who make a special gift at the end of the year, really help make that possible. And so I want to encourage you, if you have an opportunity, to be able to give something to help churches in Ukraine and really to rebuild Ukraine back from its where it is right now in a very precarious situation. So you can find the links to all of those things in the show notes for this show, succofamily.org/44. All right, let's get into the content for this podcast, talking about procrastination with my friend Lauren Penelis from lifeofthesteward.com. I've been, you know, following your blog for a while. You got some great content on there about Christian time management. How did you get started with that?
It was really the combination of two factors. Number one was around the time I was finishing up college, I kind of felt the calling more or less to be an entrepreneur. It was something that I really had a passion for. So when I graduated and eventually was able to kind of go out on my own and start my own business, the awesome thing is when you wake up in the morning, no one's telling you what to do. But the scary thing is when you wake up in the morning, no one's telling you what to do. I went through high school. Yeah, exactly. I went through high school. I went through college, and I always had people giving me assignments, and you do them by the deadline, and the rest of the time you just, you know, play. Once I was kind of out in the real world, so to say, I realized, well, wait a minute. The way I manage my time is going to have a direct influence on how successful I am, on my ability to provide an income for my family, on every way that you can define success, whether it's earthly or whether it's spiritual. So I realized that time management was going to be important. So I wanted to learn it. I read about it. And to be honest, I was horrible at it. I mean, I still am. Right. I blog about time management. And I think a lot of times, people have the opinion that I'm perfect and that I'm super productive. But really the reason that I have read so much on it and think so much about it is because I'm so bad at it. Really.
Well, if you're like me, like I blog about the things that I'm experiencing in my own life that I'm trying to, you know, figure it out or overcome or whatever. So I understand how that works.
Absolutely. I wanted to continually get better. So I read about it. I thought a lot about it. And then kind of another factor was right around the time I was finishing up college as well. I started to get into financial stewardship. I started to just, God kind of led me down that path where I was kind of hit between the eyes with the concepts of being a steward of my finances and how the way I managed my money related to how I felt about God and my obedience to God and my stewardship of the gifts that He's given me.
Right.
And then just not being worried and anxious about you've wrote about that obviously, but not being anxious for finances and all that being a steward, all that entails. And then I don't really know how it happened, but somehow these kind of two passions of mine kind of combined. And I started to think of me being a steward of my time. And at the time, I really had never heard anyone talk about time like that. It was kind of an independent revelation. And then I started to see more and more people talking about it and just begin to think then about this concept of managing my time, of that resource as a stewardship and all that entails, not only in terms of what does it mean to truly be productive, but not being anxious about understanding the role that God plays in how you manage your time.
Right. And you know, that also brings me to the question, because of course you come at the idea of time management from a biblical perspective. And then in this ebook that you wrote about the procrastination solution, correct? Is that what it's called?
Your procrastination solution. Absolutely.
Your procrastination solution. Okay, that's what it is. But you also come, you know, with a biblical perspective there. And, you know, sometimes I guess particularly thinking about procrastination, it never really crossed my mind too much that, I mean, does the Bible really say anything about procrastination? And, in your study, I mean, does the Bible say much about procrastination, or do you find that is something significant in the Bible?
Well, two answers. First of all, the Bible does speak about procrastination, particularly in Proverbs, when you look at the sluggard.
Right.
There's Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34, which I've been working on from memory. And so I'm gonna try to see if I can recite this, but I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I looked and considered, or I saw and considered. I'm fuzzy right there, but and then he gets to the conclusion, which is a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. And the idea is right here in Proverbs, we see poverty, want, a lack of resources, physical consequences of inaction, and what has caused it. It hasn't been one gigantic act of neglect. It was a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, just a little bit of a break here, a little bit of a pause here, a little bit of a procrastination here, and you see the dramatic effects. You also see that in Proverbs 6, the exact same phrase, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So it does occur that, the wise man looks at a sluggard, at a procrastinator, and says that's not what we want to be like.
Right. And that's a really interesting concept about he's, you know, a little sleep and a little slumber, because I think sometimes, you know, it's so easy for us to look at the big sins, the big problems in life.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. And certainly procrastination can end up giving us big problems, but we don't always see that those little things that added up to it. In fact, even when I wrote my book too on worry and anxiety, one of the things I also realized is that oftentimes we excuse that type of thinking, worry and anxiety, mm-hmm. because it seems like a little thing. And yeah. and it seems to me that would also be very similar with procrastination. We easily excuse it because it's just like every time you do it, you feel like you're just putting something off for maybe 10 minutes or another hour or something like that. Is that true? Is that kind of a way that we justify sometimes procrastination?
I think we don't see the dramatic effects of it, except a lot of times in hindsight when we look back and we can see, wow, you know, what could have been if I would have acted a little differently over this entire lifetime. But I think another part of it is that procrastination is fairly universal. I mean, right. most of us struggle with it in some way or another. Some people struggle with it very intensely. Others, you know, more occasionally. But a lot of times just that universal nature of it allows us to say, much like worry, that, well, it's not a big deal. Everyone does it. You know, this is just my personality. I'm prone to worry. I'm prone to be a procrastinator. It's not that big of a deal.
Now, would you define procrastination as a sin?
Actually, yes, I do. You know, that was kind of the other part when we talk about, does Scripture talk about procrastination? It does talk about, you know, as I mentioned, Proverbs, it talks about specifically and explicitly procrastination. But then there is this idea all throughout Scripture that whatever you do, do to the glory of God, that every second of our life, when we look at being stewards, every penny we have, every second of time that we have, our entire lives are to be used as God would have us use them. In that instant where you procrastinate, the reason you're doing that is because in that instant, you are worshiping an idol. Yeah, the way that you spend your time, the way that you spend your resources has to do with what you worship. And in that instant of time where you're procrastinating or you're wasting time in whatever form that may be, what you're doing is you're saying, you know what? I should be worshiping God and I should be loving God and loving others and using my time in this way. But instead, I'm going to worship this idol over here, whether it's fear, whether it's comfort, just simple selfish pleasure and laziness, whatever it is, in that instant, you're worshiping an idol. So yes, procrastination is a sin. Wasting time is a sin, not because necessarily of the usage of the time, but the heart that is behind why you're using your time in that way.
Yeah, that definitely is a huge perspective changer when you view it that way. I mean, just going back again to the idea of it's a little sleep, it's a little slumber, excusing it. But when you connect it like that with idol worship, basically, that changes the level. It brings things up a level. It brings it up mm-hmm. to the top level, really. And I think just understanding that connection helps me not to procrastinate.
Absolutely. Seeing it for what it is. I mean, that's why Scripture talks about it. That's why Scripture tells us to use our time well. That's why Scripture talks about stewardship and how our relationship with God affects how we steward, and how we steward affects our relationship with God, because it is about that heart.
Well, talk to me for a minute. Of course, I mean, I understand, and in your book, you definitely bring out these scriptural elements, but there's other some just real basic practical elements that go along with procrastination that can adversely affect us. And on the other hand, when we get with it and do what we're supposed to do, can really positively affect us. And maybe you could just kind of explain some of those things, how they work, whether it's our emotions or just, you know, physically, how those things work in our minds and our brains.
Yeah, procrastination is, it's universal, but in the way it looks from the outside, but the way it looks from the inside, the way it looks from someone's heart or their fears or what's going on emotionally with them while they procrastinate, is all over the place. Really, procrastination is an emotional issue. A lot of times we look at it, and I talk about this a little in the book, a lot of times we look at it as simply just an organization problem, a time management right. problem. I need this new technique or this new app or a new solution. And the idea is it's not a time management issue. It is an emotional issue. Mm-hmm. Deep down, you are dealing with a fear or with a love of some kind. And I go through a few of these in the book, but for instance, one is a fear of failure. Right. This is a main one for a lot of people who procrastinate is they're afraid to tackle a certain task because it intimidates them. And maybe it won't end up looking in reality the way it does currently in their head. So what they do is they're afraid to tackle that task because it may show them that they're not up to the task in the way that they hope they are. It may reveal inadequacies. And
right,
a lot of
right.
times that fear drives that inactivity. We would rather do nothing than tackle something and fail at it. That's one fear.
I know I've definitely experienced that, especially, you know, I think with being a missionary, with being in a foreign country, when you have to deal with a foreign language and you have these tasks, sometimes simple tasks that you have to do, you know. I remember first, you know, year or so here, just calling somebody on the phone, you know, I'd procrastinate. Why? Because I was afraid I might not know what to say or I might not understand them. So I can definitely see how that works out.
Yeah. And you know, it's the type of thing where you would never really think about it that way. You independently, you might not arrive at the conclusion, oh, this is an emotional issue. This is a fear issue. You kind of almost need a little help in uncovering these layers and testing yourself and saying, oh, I would have never thought about it. But you're right. There's a fear deep within me. I don't want to feel inadequate. I'm afraid of failing at this task. So I'm sabotaging myself to protect my ego. It's such an unconscious thing. It's on an unconscious level that it takes a lot of discernment and some help to dig that deep.
Right.
Some of the other issues that you can get into is a fear of success, which, as I was studying this, that sounded crazy to me, but
That sounded crazy too. When I first started reading that, it was a fear of success. Who fears that? But go ahead, explain
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly. But I've actually talked with people who read Your Procrastination Solution. They read the book and they said that's me. I never realized it. But basically, a lot of times, for instance, let's just say that you are the child of blue collar immigrants, and you're afraid that maybe if you go to college and you are really successful and you have a successful job, that you'll make them feel bad about themselves. So mm-hmm. a lot of times you're afraid to tackle a task and to excel at that. You're afraid that success is going to alienate you from them. And that's what a fear of success is you picture success as bringing about alienation from friends, from loved ones, that maybe now people are going to look at you and they're going to feel jealous. That maybe right. now more attention is going to be on you and the bar is going to be raised. There's a lot of different reasons, but if someone compliments you and you start to feel a little uneasy about it, or you don't really like to be praised, you may have issues with a fear of success. And that can be an emotional reason why people right. procrastinate. Other times it's anger. It is, you know, I'm going to procrastinate because Caleb has told me I'm supposed to do this. And, you know, he has authority over me and he's my boss and I should do this. But, you know, by golly, I'm going to take my time and I'm going to
stretch it out as long as you can. Yeah,
I'm going to turn it in a day late just to show him, you know, you can tell me what to do, but you can't tell me when to do it. I'm going to exert some control.
I can tell you, too, you know, just in raising children, sometimes you start to see these things more clearly, too, because, I mean, you're dealing with it within yourself, but then you have to deal with it within another person, too, and you see these reasons come out, too. So let's just move a step beyond that, though, because mm-hmm. certainly it's an internal problem. It's a problem, like you said, emotional and motivational, I think. So what, I mean, just give us maybe one or two steps that somebody could take to say, you know, they've identified, you know, whether it's a fear of failure, fear of success or something. What's, you know, one or two concrete steps that they could take to begin to move those emotional problems aside and make some progress?
Well, I think the first step is just simply to label the emotional problem. And that's really going to be, I think, a lot of times the hardest part. once you realize, okay, it is a fear of failure that is keeping me procrastinating in this scenario, then whenever you have the urge to procrastinate, say, okay, what am I feeling right now? You know, am I feeling a fear of success, a fear of failure? Am I feeling anger issues? Am I feeling a selfish love of comfort? And then once you label that emotion, you can just begin the process of fighting that sinful heart like you would any particular sin. Just look right to Scripture for specific promises, for specific words from God to help you get over that. And then also a good healthy dose of sanctified common sense, because procrastination is not logical when you think about it. If you're afraid of failure, once you realize that emotional aspect, you can say, well, wait a minute, you know, it's okay to fail. That doesn't, you know, make you a bad person. You can adopt, what some self-improvement people call the growth mindset. And I talk about this in the book about kind of getting this idea that failing makes you better. Failing is how you get better at something, that you're going to fail today. You're going to try to play that song on the piano and it's going to be difficult and you're going to feel inadequate, but keep at it. And a year from now, you'll be playing much harder pieces and you know, will have improved. So once you've identified that emotion, the particular battle plan that you're going to use is going to be dependent on what that is. And it's not going to look the same for each emotion. It's not going to look the same for each person. I think once you've identified what it is, you can get to it. And that's actually the reason why I titled it not the procrastination solution, not a procrastination solution, but it is your procrastination solution, because it understands that it's a very individualized issue. And it's going to take individualized solutions.
Right. I like some of the words you were using there, some of the verbs you said, fighting the sinful heart, and it's a battle. And I think that it's also helpful just for us to describe it that way in our minds, to know that when that procrastination, that temptation pops up, we have to battle, we have to fight it, mm-hmm. and not just back down, you know. And it, for me, you know, it's not a problem to identify what I procrastinate about, because when that item pops up in my mind, there's this tinge of guilt. I can feel it, you know. Oh no.
Yeah.
I know I'm supposed to do that. But you know, it's what to do. How do you get that motivation back to say, yes, I'm gonna go out and get that done? And those are definitely some very helpful things that you've given us. And you know, I have to say, the book is I think 24 pages, is that right?
I tried to keep it real short. I think 24, but like one of those is a page of notes, and that's including maybe the cover too. So it's you could probably read it in about 30 or 40 minutes. I think I timed myself reading it. I tried to keep it as short as possible, but yet still effective.
It's very readable, and what I liked about it too was, you know, you have some explanation of certain things, and then you have some concrete application right away, and I found that very helpful. Definitely helped me to identify some of the, you know, reasons why I do procrastinate in certain things. And it's true. I mean, your procrastination solution, because, come on, everybody procrastinates. And I don't care who it is. I mean, the most disciplined person, because what I've noticed, people might be very disciplined in a number of things, but then there's always going to be that one or two thing where it's like, oh, that's so hard to do, you know? And just identifying those things are really key. So tell us, how can we get the book?
Yeah, it's on my site, www.lifeofasteward.com. You just go on there, and I've got a sign up there where you just put in your email address, and it'll get emailed to you. And like you said, I worked real hard to put practical tips in it as well. And the way I approach the practical tips is kind of, okay, here's, you know, here are some tools that you can put in your tool belt, right? Some quivers you can put, or some arrows you can put in your quiver. And the idea is, this may not work. This particular tip may not work for you, but maybe this one will. Or maybe this one, you know, keep that in your back pocket. And 3 months from now, when you're struggling, okay, this tip will be helpful. So it's kind of the idea, again, just a buffet of practical tips that maybe you can just try out, and hopefully some of them will work.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you for that resource. And I'll put a link in the show notes for this podcast as well. So that if you go to sukofamily.org/ 44. There'll be a link to Life of a Steward. It's lifeofasteward.com, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Lifeofasteward.com. Yeah. And just if you sign up, where is it on the right hand side there? I think you have a.
Right up on the sidebar there.
So pretty easy to do. So, yeah, I highly recommend it. Definitely been following your blog for a while, Lauren, and appreciate the content you put out there. It's always just it's right on and very easy to read and very applicable to the Christian life. So I appreciate that.
I appreciate your kind words. Appreciate you having me on.
And your podcast, too. I appreciate your podcast. And I just have one request for you.
Yes.
Can you do your podcast more often?
Yeah, it's funny talking about time management, but actually doing a podcast was a lot tougher than I thought it would be. I thought it'd be, maybe 2-3 hours to do one, but when I do one, it takes me, editing and all that together takes a lot. So I'm going to aim in for about once a month, and I'm going to start getting some interviews, so hopefully it'll work out.
Okay, awesome. Well, appreciate that, too. All right, well, thanks for being on Now's the Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that concludes the interview with Lauren, and I hope you enjoyed it. I know I found a lot of it to be very helpful to me, but especially I found the book to be helpful. And so I really want to encourage you to get his free book, Your Procrastination Solution. And you can just do that over at lifeofthestuart.com. And also don't forget to subscribe on iTunes to Now is the Time podcast. And there's links in the show notes where you can do that. And leave a review. If you have been blessed by the content of this podcast, leave a review on iTunes. That really helps the show to get out in front of other people as well. All right, friends. Hey, listen, by the way, next week I have a special Christmas podcast coming out. You won't want to miss it. Going to be a little bit different than my usual podcast, so stay tuned for that. And until then, be blessed and use your life to worship our God.